Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I am your host, Justin Worsham, and I am here solo because for anybody who's not playing catch up on the episodes, I'm a little bit behind. I've been a very bad podcaster. I think it's been at least 3 weeks, maybe longer. I'm sorry. And I know I probably say this a lot. Here's the thing. When I come in here, especially when I do the episodes by myself, and it's probably just as bad when I have a guest in here, I don't like to do a lot of planning, and I hope that when you listen to that, it doesn't come across as, amateur or whatever.
What is this, amateur hour?
I think that my hope is that I want this to be like a conversation. That everything is kind of off the cuff. And so anyway, the reason why I feel bad when I don't do episodes, it's a weird kind of crazy person's fight that happens in my head where I sit here and I go, oh, I got to do an episode. And then I go, why? People don't really care. It's not, you know what I mean? And then what's great about you guys is that I get emails from you saying like, hey, not mean at all, but just like, hey, is everything cool? Or if I post on my Facebook, like, hey, sorry, I haven't done an episode in a while. Everybody's super kind. Like, oh yeah, you get it. Family comes first. And somebody said something really nice where they were like, you know, hey, this is one of my favorite podcasts, so I need my fix. So please come back as soon as possible, which always recharges my batteries. And I am an empty vessel that constantly needs your validation. So please keep it coming. Oh, pathetic. But here's what's been going on and why things are crazy. I had episodes going through end of May because I was booking in advance. I'm getting really good at booking the guests. But then what happened was life happened. The biggest thing that happened, which none of you know about, and I want to preface this by saying everybody is okay. But I'm almost 2 months ago now. Wow, poor thing. 2 months ago, Natalie found a lump in her breast. And I know that this has touched everybody in some way, shape, or form. Everybody's had a family. I'm sure some of you have even lost family members to such things. And I apologize. And I'm going to preface this by saying the same thing I said before, is that I like to do this off the cuff. So if I make an off-color joke or anything like that, I really, truly, it's nothing more than a defense mechanism. It's not intended to be disrespectful or inconsiderate for what you or your family has been through, and I just apologize because that's not my intent. But it was Natalie found a lump, and as the story goes, she went she called the doctor. They obviously wanted to do first like an ultrasound, so they did an ultrasound, and then they wanted to do a biopsy. And while they were doing the biopsy, I guess the needle got bent and they couldn't get in there to get a sample. Because evidently she has super boobs. I mean, listen, I'm a big fan. I just didn't know they had superpowers. And I mean, maybe they're bulletproof. We've never tested that. I don't think she would let me because she's uptight. But yeah. So, and then there was a great moment happened where we further validation that we're just really blessed to have a great physician. I'm sure some of you have this as well, is that when we're getting in towards the summertime, getting closer to it, and in the spring, and there's lots of vacations that happen and stuff with doctors. And so our doctor found out that her file was sent to the wrong, was given to the wrong doctor within the practice. And the staff wasn't notifying her of results fast enough. And so she just kind of jumped up their ass and said, listen, anytime we have a female dealing with any kind of a lump, that is of high priority. I need to know the test results. I need you to help me and stay on top of these things with the other offices and the specialists we're sending them to, because this patient is living in a limbo of stress, and it's not fair and it's not okay. And they're just waiting for us. And she always calls personally. She never has an assistant call. We're very fortunate. She's great. And I guess when her file was put on the wrong doctor, so she went even to that other doctor and said, listen, if one of my patient's files is on, don't just let it sit there. Come give it to me. Come tell me. And then the surgeon went and looked at the results and was like, and they asked for an MRI too. And he was like, well, all I could see is that you have an abnormal growth there. I can't really tell what it is until we get a biopsy. And then she said, well, this is what happened with the biopsy. And the surgeon's like, no, get this doctor to do it. And so that doctor was just about to leave on vacation when our primary physician found out about it. She called that doctor because she knew him and said, listen, can you please work this woman in? She's been wrestling with this for like 3 weeks now. you're the only one who we want to do this biopsy. Can you do it? And she was like, oh, yeah. And there was actually another specialist who was in town who specializes in breast cancer and growth and stuff like that. So he's like, I'm going to have him take a look at it, too. So they looked at it. They took the biopsy. Thankfully, they found out like it was calcified scar tissue. We assume because she had a clogged duct during when she was breastfeeding. So that was a big relief. But then there was another smaller growth that was behind it that they couldn't really like reach or get to. And so regardless, they said because of this growth and lump, they said that it could become cancerous. They wanted to take it out. Obviously, my wife and I agreed. So she had the operation. While all of this was going on, I found out I had a hernia, which I think I have talked about on this show. So I had hernia surgery on the 22nd. 3 weeks after my surgery, Natalie had her, I think they call it a lumpectomy. I'm sorry if I'm oversimplifying. And then I think it's like a week later on after that, like, or no, then that week we went to the cabin. That's what it was. And that's going to tie into my dad's cabin for a fishing tournament. And I'll talk more about that in the next segment when I'm talking about Jack's birthday party and everything that came with it. But the fun thing was that a week after that, I got like some pain in my lower intestine. I almost felt like really bad gas pain. And I was taking the boys to Rams football camp, which, by the way, if you don't follow me or the show, I mean, on Instagram or on Facebook, you got to go check it out at Dad Podcast on Instagram, Facebook.com/Dad Podcast. And it's Jacob does a touchdown dance that is awesome. I'm going to talk about it in moment of the week later on, too. But So I'm in just this incredible pain while we're at this football camp for like 7 hours, and I'm going to laying down in the car. I go to a pharmacist. I said, I just feel like I have bad gas pain. She gives me some Pepcid because she said that has a gas reducer in it. I could only take 2 tablets at a 24-hour period, so I was like, I'll take one. I felt a little bit better. But that night I had to get ready because we had a lot of people coming over for the party, so I had to set up a new pool and so much stuff, and I was just out of it. I was exhausted. Saturday, I was okay. Just felt a little uncomfortable. Sunday, I was okay. Sunday night at 8 o'clock, something hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, the pain came back. I started shivering and then eventually got hot, so I knew I was spiking a fever. Got up to 101.3. I'm like, okay, I just got some kind of bug. I got to kill it. Tomorrow, I had to go in and cover for the other production guy at the radio station. So I'm like, I'm doing the classic guy thing. For as much of a pansy as I am, I'm still doing the guy. I'm fine. Totally fine. And so the next morning I wake up, I'm still in pain, and I go, okay, I'm going to go to urgent care. So I go into the urgent care. They, you know, poke at me and they go, do you have your appendix? I said, no, I had an appendectomy back in like 2003, I think it was. So she's like, okay. She goes, you have any history of diverticulitis? I said, I don't even know what that is. So I'm going to guess no. And so they're like, okay. They take a urine sample that comes back negative. I don't even know what that means. I guess I have no urine. And then another doctor comes in, which is very weird. I've never had that happen. She brings in this other doctor, and he kind of pokes around and finds like the spots where it hurts. And it kind of hurt in the lower middle and on the left-hand side of my abdomen. And he goes, okay, well, get up and can you bounce up and down on your toes? I said, yeah. He goes, any discomfort? I said, none at all. He goes, well, then it's not diverticulitis because you would feel some discomfort there. And he goes, well, here's what we're going to do. I don't want to do any imaging or expose your body to radiation unnecessarily. He goes, let's do some blood tests. He goes, if it was Friday, your body would be fighting an infection. Let's see. Let's do a stat blood test. So I said, okay. So 3 hours after they draw the blood, they give me results. And I told them, I said, when I had the appendectomy, they took blood and my white blood cell count didn't spike like it normally would if you have an infection. And so it came back normal. So they said, we think it's just something you ate. So just, you know, stick to a liquid diet for a few days and you're going to see your surgeon on Wednesday. So that'll be fine. Natalie was doing her follow-up for her lumpectomy with the same surgeon that did my hernia surgery. And he says, how's Justin? And she goes, oh, he's got this pain. He goes, oh, he could have diverticulitis. She goes, no, the doctor had him bounce up and down on his toes and said and ruled that out. And he kind of made a face. He's like, no, he needs to get in here now. So she calls me. I go into the office and I couldn't be more appreciative. This guy literally doesn't glove up. He pushes twice on like kind of the far left side of my abdomen and it hurt like hell. And he goes, oh yeah, you got diverticulitis. I'm almost positive. He goes, we're going to do a CAT scan to be sure. He goes, I need to get you on antibiotics now because if I don't get you on antibiotics and it perforates, it gets so infected that it perforates surgically, they have to go in and remove about 7 inches of my colon. I got to walk around with a super sexy colostomy bag for a couple months. And he said, and there, you know, he goes, you just wouldn't like me. We could have a lot of, he goes, this is very serious. So I go to get the CAT scan. And he gets the results and he goes, yes, you have a very extremely severe case of diverticulitis. I think we caught it in time. He goes, get on the antibiotics. Come see me in a couple days. So I came back on Wednesday. Literally within a day of taking the antibiotics, I was fine. Like, you feel a lot better. But you go on a liquid diet for a week. And he said the biggest culprits of this are popcorn and nuts. So it's going to be a few months, if ever, that I can have popcorn or nuts again. And another friend of mine told me that I felt horrible for them, but that they told me that they'd had a friend who struggled with this a lot. And I didn't know. I didn't know this was a big deal. And I'm not, here's the thing. I'm not coming on here to say, oh, poor me. I'm saying this because I didn't know. And what if by saying this to all of you, whenever you, I'm always thinking of my grandfather. He remembers when his father passed away that he got super bad in indigestion and was taking aspirin and antacid. And he basically took enough aspirin and antacid that he comforted himself, not knowing that he had an occluded artery that was supplying blood to his stomach because he was about to have a heart attack. And so he just basically pacified himself into having a heart attack in his sleep and passed away. And it was, you know, obviously 30, 40 years later, my grandfather is sitting in bed and he's got a handful with a couple aspirin and two or three antacid that he was like, oh, no. And it dawns on him and he has my grandma take him to the hospital. And yeah, he was having a heart attack and luckily survived it. So if you're ever dealing with that kind of gut pain or anything and you spike a fever, like, get your ass to an urgent care. And you know, especially if you've got sensitivity on that left side, you know, lower right is appendix and left side is diverticulitis. So says Dr. Worsham. So that's why all of this has been going on. I feel bad because I've been super active posting on social media. We'll take a break and I'll talk about what I did with my dad and then subsequently came back with Jack's birthday party and all that stuff. And it's been a lot of fun, but there's just been a lot. I mean, I hope that none of you can relate. But the unfortunate part is that I'm sure many of you can relate to the idea of dealing with the scare of the lump. I mean, it's really hard, and I can say it now. It's hard for a guy who likes to talk things out. I think it's part of the, if not the only, the biggest reason why I like to do podcasts and this kind of medium is that it gives me a chance to kind of process my own thoughts and feelings on stuff by kind of talking them out, even though there's nobody here to interrupt me. But it's hard to be the guy who's looking at the love of his life and to keep a mindset of being strong and not having to, you know, let your mind spiral. If there's one thing I've learned from therapy is that your mind is wired to think worst case scenario because it thinks it's protecting you. But sometimes emotionally, that's just not helpful. And so I was able to maintain a mindset. And again, unfortunately, my stepmom went through breast cancer when we were having Jack. And so she survived it. And so I could, you know, kind of lean on them. But other than that, nobody really knew. I kind of followed her lead and, you know, she didn't seem interested in talking about it with anybody. Her whole thing was she just didn't want to talk about it until she knew for sure. And there was, you know, a good month and a half where there is no knowing for sure. And she obviously, when it first became an issue and they were figuring it out, she was stressed out. And I just kept saying, I said, here's the thing. You don't want to worry until you know you got something to worry about, because you could be burning all these calories, stressing yourself out. And it's not a good thing. It doesn't help in any way, shape, or form. And then in the end, find out, oh, you're fine, which is exactly what happened. I mean, she's going to have to go back and get screenings and all that stuff because I don't know if it's come up on the show, but Natalie has a ton of family history. Her mother's had it. Both her grandmothers, I think, had it. A couple of her aunts have had it. Sisters has it. Like, it's a lot. And so, you know, she got tested for that BRCA gene and she came back negative. And I think, you know, maybe had, I don't know how it works, but maybe she'd been positive. Maybe that would have just turned into cancer, because they did say it has potential of becoming cancerous, the kind of lump that she had. But thankfully, it wasn't. So now she's got a cool, sexy battle scar on her chesticles. But yeah, my point is that it was rough. And then there was a time at the end where the doctor said I would have the results on a Monday. The surgeon did, and we didn't hear from them on Monday. And she's like, well, I don't know. I wish she would just call me. And I said, well, Natalie, I think you got to look at it that it's a good sign. If the doctor looks at your tests and he sees cancer, he's going to make it to where he can bring you in or something like that. The fact that there is no rush and you're going to go see him in a few days probably means it's nothing, and it was. So thankfully, I was right. All is good. But that's why. That's in my opinion, that's the meat and potatoes of why I've taken this hiatus. Again, everybody's fine, so don't worry about us. Don't feel bad in any way, shape, or form. We got a good life. But when I was talking about earlier that the diverticulitis thing, when my friend told me that she had a friend who he passed away from complications from the surgery, it really does open your eyes. And it's another thing that I've been wanting to talk about on a solo episode is that, you know, you guys have been around as I, you know, started this thing as a stand-up comedian, and then I transitioned to doing voiceover work, and then eventually was working in radio, and that I feel like is kind of coming to a head. There are some opportunities on the horizon, as far as what I want out of my life, I've shared on the show too, is that those are my dreams. When I was in first grade, I wanted to be a stand-up comedian. I wanted to make people laugh. As I got older, I got into plays, and I just wanted to make people laugh because it's what I felt, the only thing I felt I was good at. And as I got older and I became a comedian and things were going great, I was making good money and traveling, but I had a wife and kids, and it just didn't feel right. I could feel myself becoming depressed, if I can be a little maudlin and sound sappy for a second. So I made a change, right? And then I got into, when I was working on the Bill Handel show, one of the best jobs I've had for anybody who found the show because of my time there. Oh, that first year to year and a half of working that job, was magical for me. But then the person that's in charge, they felt like my influence on the show was having a negative impact on the show. It wasn't their vision. And so therefore they pulled me out of it. And I had no control over that. And that was super frustrating. And to be somebody who is of creative mind and all that. And so I've been trying to pursue it, trying to make things happen. So all of this, I'm knocking on the door of 40, which I don't think is old, but I just kind of realized recently, especially after all this and the kind of, they say when you start to get into near your 40s, that mortality becomes like a slight awareness. I don't think about it at all, really, but it's just, I think about what you start to shift, your priority shift. That's the right way to say it, right? You feel like your priority shift as you get a little bit older. And I realize that the thing that makes me the most happy is being around my wife and kids. And I'm sure that especially if you listen to a show like this for entertainment, I'm sure we all feel that way, right? We all struggle with trying to find a balance between work and life. And I'm not saying that I should be so entitled that I don't have to work at all, because that's a bad message to send to my kids. But what I've realized now, and I'm realigning my priorities, and it's really weird. This is going to, I'm not comfortable saying this out loud, if I can be honest with you, and not for the reasons you may think, but here it is. I have recently decided to basically give up on my childhood dream of becoming, getting into a radio, having my own radio show, and being a stand-up comic, because I have ventured into both of those industries and they don't jive well enough for me with what I want out of my overall life, right? And it's not necessarily just about the financial stuff. With radio, it was a little bit, but it's also not just the financial stuff, but it's also somebody else could just decide on a whim that I'm no longer suitable for what I want to do. And there's just not enough money in it to make it worth the risk in my mind, because I would still be giving up time away from my family. You know what I mean? So now I've shifted and I'm going into real estate. I've had my real estate license. You guys know I've been a property manager. I've always loved real estate. My dad flipped houses when I was a kid, had multiple rentals. I knew it's what I wanted to do, retire. And so about a month ago, I activated my license. I've got four buyers now. One that's really actively looking right now. The other three are just kind of starting out. But, and I like it. And you know what I like about it the most is that, unlike comedy, it's not based on who I am as a person. If I fail or if I'm rejected, it's based on a business decision, not because I'm not funny enough or somebody perceives me to not be funny enough. You know, there's gatekeepers, but it's just a different intention. And I always thought that if I ever gave up, I mean, I was voted most talented in my class, and as douchey as that sounds, the idea of giving up on pursuing a career in entertainment because I was voted I was letting down all those people who voted for me. Like, what? But it's true. That's how I felt. And so the reason I say all of this is because I feel, and I have an assumption, that there are many of you out there listening to this show and have listened to it for probably years, and you wrestle with this kind of thing where it's like you wrestle with your family life versus your ambitions, right? Your career. And I just want you to, I wanted to be able to say, as a guy who maybe you decided because of your family life. I know a comic who is amazing and a super nice guy in Omaha who he came out to L.A. He's such a funny guy. And he came out to L.A., but because something happened with family, he had to come back and take care of a family member's kids. He went back to Omaha because it was what was best for the kids, right? And so if you're in that boat where it's like, I feel like I missed out on something, I think the real thing in life that I've learned is that as somebody who went out and pursued it, you could still have pursued that and find that you're better off where you are now. Because now I don't necessarily look back at it and go, I think I wasted my time because I gave it a shot and I did it. And maybe it's a defense mechanism that I tell myself, yeah, maybe I could have made it in quotes, but I didn't really want a sitcom. I didn't want to travel the comedy. I thought I did when I started, but I didn't want to go comedy club to comedy club for the rest of my life. I like coaching football with my kids. I like sitting and watching Netflix at night with my wife. And so if you feel lost, if you feel stressed in your life, my advice, if I can be so bold as to give it, it would be to take a breath and really focus on what you have and how good you have it. Look at that fella next to you or that lady love that you have and how lucky you are to have somebody to walk through life like this, somebody who you can have a drink, have a laugh with. Even if you're in that down, everybody goes through valleys in their marriage, right? Even if it's a hectic time or stressful. Well, Natalie and I feel very disconnected, to be honest. Maybe not very, but I feel fairly disconnected from my wife because we're both kind of building these new jobs and roles and trying to balance family life in the middle of summer where the kids are home, right? It's kind of a hard thing to negotiate, and hard in our scope, right? I mean, obviously there are things that could go wrong, and you know, the reality of it is that I could have screwed up and not, if that doctor didn't catch it, things could have gone seriously bad, and in a couple of years I could no longer be here and have nothing to pretend to complain about in my life. And I know I say that with a laugh, but I mean it. You got your kids, you got your spouse, or even if you're solo, you know what I mean? If you're solo, you got to be able to look at your situation and go, well, it's better off than, you know, having to stick it with asshole apocalypse over there or asshole Zilla. Neither one of those are good names. I'm going to go back and I'm going to R&D what we're going to call exes. I know somebody who calls them a wasband, which, and I think they listen to the show now, but, I like a wasband. That's fun. I need something for wasife. but you know what I mean? Like, take stock. Really, honestly, take that time. I know I sound so heavy-handed. I hate it when I do this, but I feel it. So therefore, I have to say it. Look at what you got going on now, because it's really easy for us to focus on the negative and to get frustrated. When in reality, it's pretty good. Even those shitbird kids that annoy the fuck out of all of us, right? They're so awesome. It's a good life for all its shittiness, right? Right. Now I'm going to take a break and I'm going to come back and I'm going to do a segment that's going to contradict most of what I just said. So get ready for that after this. Cause I'm ready to go. Let's have a good time. Let's go. What you waiting for? You only got one life. And we going to live it up. So give me the green light. Cause I'm ready to go. Uh-oh. How can you not chair dance this song? Oh, I know it's I'm probably losing 18 man cards on this, but we played it. I put it on my little Bluetooth speaker at Jack's birthday while I was cutting tri-tip. And I don't know why, but I love it. I used to play it on the Handle Show. That's when I found it, when it was charting. This had to be a year ago or something like that. And I'm not usually a big Pitbull fan, although I do like Timber. I know you guys, especially if you listen live, know I'm a fan of the Timber with Kesha. But give me the green. Oh, come on, get it. Cause I'm ready to go. Let's have a good time. Let's go. What you waiting for? You only got one life. And we gonna live it up. So give me the green light. I'll stop victimizing you with my chair dancing songs while you're listening to your podcast. So Jack just turned 7. Kudos to Jack. And we normally we'll do parties around the house, and it's good times. If you want to see a video of the goodie bag that was given out at the party and my subsequent reaction to said goodie bag, you could check it out. It's also at that podcast on Instagram and on the Facebook page. But a couple weeks ago, Natalie sat down and said, I just came home from work. It was a long day at work. And she said, oh, by the way, we have 41 people RSVP'd for Jack's party. I don't know if 41 is a big number for you, but it is a big number to me. We'd had maybe 20, 25 tops at the house for a birthday party before. And to think of like feeding them and all that stuff. And with, you know, me cutting back on the hours at the station and shifting all the stuff, like financially just didn't make sense. And I was like, oh, and I, all I could say, this is all I could muster, is I go, are you fucking shitting me? At the dinner table with the kids. I couldn't control myself. I just let out loud, and she goes, huh? And I said, you got to be fucking kidding me. 41 people, Natalie? And she was telling me a week out. And just to give you a, I don't think it's a really an excuse for me to lose my cool like that. But to give you an idea, is what we were staring down the barrel of is that that Friday, after I was done working at the radio station, I had to drive 6 hours to my dad's cabin. I ended up getting there at like 1 a.m. My dad brought back the Father's Day weekend fishing tournament up at his cabin community. And it was awesome, and he wanted me there to help out. My dad hardly asked me for anything and helps me out a ton. You guys know how much I love him, so I was like, I got to be there for Pops. The kids had a dance recital on that Saturday because the dance recital didn't look to see when Father's Day was falling. And, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to sound a sexist, but I feel like if, you know, dance moms is a thing, dance dads are a thing, not a bad thing, but just not as big as dance moms, let's be honest, you know. So just to, it gives you an idea of where Father's Day could fall on the scope of the calendar, right, guys? Like, but anyway, so, and even, but in their defense, even the dance studio said, oh, so it's Father's Day weekend. They went, what? They were like, oh crap. So then Natalie was going to do the dance recital and then come up and see us, and we're going to spend Sunday. Monday was Jack's actual birthday, so we're going to stay there, then come back on Wednesday. So it'd be either Tuesday, Wednesday. We'd leave early Wednesday morning. I would have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to prepare for 41 people to get the food and all that stuff ready. And we usually do like a, I'll grill up a tri-tip. I think I've shared it on the show where you, my dad learned this from a caterer when my brother got married, is that you bring a tri-tip up to temp at about 140 to 145. You know, double wrap it in foil and you stick it in an ice chest that is also lined with foil. And you could put 3 or 4. I've done as many as I think 9 tri-tips in a ice chest, and then they just kind of rest in there and use the heat from each other and it being insulated in the ice chest, and they reabsorb their juices and they kind of finish cooking, and they are so moist and it is so delicious. Well, what my dad did for the fishing tournament was he decided to he thin sliced tri-tip and then put it in a crock pot with like an au jus that he made. And I was like, that's brilliant. Because normally when we have 20, 25 people here, I have to cut up a tri-tip every time somebody goes through, and I'm always trying to keep it warm because I don't want it, for obviously food safety reasons too. But this gives me the ability with more people, I could be more of a host, get drinks and be able to chat with people without just being a guy in the kitchen who's cutting meat all day, because I figured people would come sporadically. And so what I did was I did my Santa Maria rub. If anybody wants a recipe, let me know. I did a Santa Maria rub and I grilled them the night before, and then I thin sliced it and I put it into, then I found another recipe for like an au jus type marinade, which is some soy sauce, Worcestershire sauce and lemon juice to keep it tender and some oil to fat. So I thought that would keep it moist, and it worked out swimmingly. Like it really came out good. And we just got a ton of those King's Hawaiian rolls and let everybody, we've got them as rolls because we figured the adults could have 2 or 3 and the kids could have 1 or 2, whatever they wanted. But just give like little sliders, little tri-tip sliders, and with some barbecue sauce on it. And we had watermelon, and I think we just got a bunch of chips to keep it easy for the group. And we pulled it off. It was great. But I had to order. We were already up against not having the slide. These are some real first world problems that I'm going to start describing to you. We had already had issues booking the tidal wave, the blue wave, which is the inflatable slide that young Jackie Boy loves to slide on with his friends. It would fortunately had been booked by a lesser family. But now I had to call and book tables and chairs and hope and pray that they had enough for my guests. God forbid they all be sitting on camping chairs that they brought from home. BYOC, not me, my friends. So I booked this place is great that we have here in Burbank, and the it's a couple that comes by, and it's great. So we couldn't get the slide we wanted. And so I called them and I booked, I said, I need enough chairs for 30 people. Cause I figured, well, normally I have 20, but I want to be able to have plenty. And, cause sometimes we've had issues with people having a place to sit, even when there's 20, 25 people here. So I got enough. And honestly, it worked out. Everything worked out great. In fact, I'm going to take a moment since I'm at that point in the story, is that a great way, what I wished I could have done, I don't know if this is something that they offer, but what I wished I could have done was had sun baskets just take care of the whole thing. You guys have heard me talk about this with I've changed my diet. I've lost like 28 pounds last fall. And when these guys came on board, I started trying the food and it's amazing. They deliver a box. It's meals. You choose what you want, and they have different kind of menu plans. If you have a very specific diet that you're doing or want to try, they've got paleo, lean and clean, gluten free, vegan, vegetarian, Mediterranean, more. They've even got one that is literally kid friendly. And what's great about these guys, as you've heard me say before, is it's all like sustainably sourced fish, organic produce, pasture raised eggs. It's all on the up and up. It's all good stuff. And what I like about them is, I don't think I've noticed this before, 18 recipes to choose from each week. Each week, 18 different recipes. So what we do is we get three delivered, right? And I know three meals, and maybe you do every other week if you don't want to do every week, but I know three meals out of that week, my kids are going to eat good. Like it's going to be a good meal. I also, the biggest thing I love about this is it's learning me to cook. I just made like a Tex-Mex ground turkey thing, and it had some squash in it. And you'd think like squash isn't very Tex-Mex, but it was a great way to work in the veggies. The kids loved it. And the seasoning I love too. So I was like, you know what? Now what I'm going to do when I make taco meat, I'm just going to take some extra veggies and use that as an excuse just to season it up, and boom. I've talked about it too, that I think it's called fonding. I've learned from the Fork Reporter at KFI. He does a food show on the weekends there, and check out the podcast if you haven't already. It's a great show, but where you cook the meat in a pan and then you take whatever veggie, like you could have a leafy green or kale or anything, and you can wilt it and it absorbs some of the flavoring, that little gristle that's left on the pan, and it cleans the pan while you're doing it because the water cooks out of the veggie and it just kind of sops everything up. And then you throw some lemon zest on it and some garlic and and salt and pepper. It's really good. So not only am I getting these great meals, not only am I getting three meals I don't have to think about, right, in planning my meals for the week, but I'm also learning to cook better. I'm also like I'm getting new ideas, because sometimes if you're making the same 5-6 things all the time, it feels like you're in a rut, and it's fun to try new things, you know, and learn a little bit something different. I said this too. They've got a little section for each recipe of something that the kids can do to help you. And I know this sounds super cheesy and sappy, but when you get the kids involved, they are that much more likely to try new things. But so far, about 90% of the things that we've done with Sunbaskets, kids have loved. They have loved it, like gobbled it up. That Tex-Mex thing I mentioned earlier, oh my God, Jacob had like three helpings of it. He absolutely loved it. So it gets them to try new things too. So what you got to do is go to sunbasket.com/dadpodcast, sunbasket.com/dadpodcast to get more information and $35 off your first order if you go to sunbasket.com/dadpodcast. So back to the party. So we have all these people coming over. So that's what I did to prepare the food. But before all of that could happen, I needed to come home and set up my redneck pool. Many of you, if you follow me on the Instagram at Dad Podcast and Facebook as well, you saw me put up the pool on Wednesday when I came home. And I was so happy. I made that day my bitch, son. I drove 6 hours home, came home, immediately started setting up the pool and had it filled by the end of the day. And then I woke up Thursday morning. And it was a little bit lower. I made a little video of my redneck pool, but the water level had fallen. I'd had this happen one other time where there was like a little drip leak in the pump. So I went and double checked on my connections. They all look good. I was like, what the hell's going on with this thing? So Jacob happened to be out there with me, and I was like, what the? And he sees me looking around. He goes to the other side and he goes, I found a hole. I was like, what? And I go over and I push on the side of it. It's like a vinyl thing. It makes almost like a cup with an inflatable ring on the top. If you guys haven't seen, Intex makes it. I-N-T-E-X. It's like $200. It's a great pool. If you want just a quick setup pool, that's something that, you know, beyond like a toddler kiddie pool. It's not for what you pay. I mean, sure, you got to put chemicals and it comes with filters and there's an expense involved, but it's a nice cheap way to have a pool a couple months out of the year, in my opinion. And I live in California, you know? So anyway, I push on it with my hand. There's like a 3-inch hole on a seam. So I don't think I could have patched it. I really think it would have been too much pressure at that big. It was bigger than the patch kit that came with the thing. I know that. But what was happening was because it was on the kind of the bottom and the seam is that the pressure of the water was sealing. So it was only dripping. That's why it wasn't leaking faster. But when I moved it, water started coming out. So I was like, because now I've got this bouncy water slide thing that can maybe have 8 kids going through it, but I got 20 kids coming. And in the past, when we've had this for birthday parties, it works out that just kind of organically, naturally, they half the kids are on the slide, half the kids are in the pool. And then they, again, organically just switch roles. It's really interesting. But so I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? And so I start draining the pool because I'm like, well, I'm going to have to get into the pool. And so I try to look on Amazon. I can't get one delivered before the party on Saturday. So then I go to Walmart.com to see if they don't have the one I need at Walmart in stock. They don't have anything really I can use in stock. I go to Target on my phone and I find this one. It's different than the one I had. It's a little bit bigger. It's a little bit more expensive, but it's the same kind of circumference, same footprint. And I was like, oh, balls. It's like, I think it was like $300 or $400. I think it's $300. I'm going to go $300 because it hurts to go back and think about the number right now. So I'm like, I got to get this. So I buy it through my phone and I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to drain the pool. That's like, it's almost 4,000 gallons of water in this thing. And I'm going to have to dump it in my backyard. Thankfully, it's heated summertime in California. And so I was like, I got to get this water in the sun so it goes down into grass and evaporates, right? So that then I can set this thing on top of it and refill it and try again. So it's leaking through like a hose bib is how you drain it. And I'm like, no, this isn't going to be fast enough. So thankfully, at least I could find a silver lining in this thing. I call the kids outside. I take a utility knife because I can't save this pool, right? So I slice like a 4-foot hole around the base of it and all this water just comes gushing out of it. They thought it was hilarious. I thought it was cool to see too, let's be honest. And then I had to refill it. Now, while I'm dealing with all of this, this is Friday after the kids go to the Rams football camp when I now have to, that was Thursday, so I drain it. Friday morning is when I wake up with the diverticulitis unknowingly. And I'm literally building the new pool. I'm building for like an hour and then I got to lay down inside the empty pool, like just trying to take a break because I feel like such crap. Natalie kept telling me, you got to go to the emergency room or urgent care. I kept saying, honey, I don't have time. Like we have these people coming and it was ignorant, but I felt bad. Like I wouldn't want to cancel on Jack and his birthday party and stuff like that. So I'm sure you're all sitting there going, you're a moron. So anyway, I went through all of that. And we get then I start noticing because the grass isn't level on in my backyard. And even the other pool that I had, it tilted to one side. So I'm just like, and I talked to a guy at the Rams football camp and he's like, oh, you got to have that on level ground. Otherwise it'll buckle and everything will just fall. So there's a part of me that's like, oh crap. Because these are all new friends, right? This is Jack's first grade class. This is exactly what happened with Jacob when we threw his first grade party. That's when he got to know all his parents. We made all the friends that we have. Most of the friends we have at the school are through them and we still hang out with them. They're great people. So this is kind of our chance that we're going to meet more people and have more friends and Jack's friends will get to come hang out and it'll be a good time. But there's a part of me that's like, thankfully I had that bouncy slide next to it because like, what if this thing just buckles and there's just a surfing wave of kids riding a wave into my backyard? All the kids would have a fun story. So thankfully none of that happened, but it is like, it's iffy. If anybody has had that happen, send me an email because it'll be funny just to have me lose sleep at night. But I couldn't fill it up all the way because the downside to this pool though is that if your kid isn't like, you know, above 44 inches, the pool's only supposed to be about 42 inches deep. But if your kid isn't like 44 inches above in height or higher, like much higher. So I would guess about 48 inches is what they'd have to be. You can't really see their head over the top. So it becomes like a pit where you don't have the high ground and you can't watch the kids to make sure they're safe. So that's a downside. to the pool. But so far, it seems to be working. I don't know if I could keep doing this. I don't know. It's I say this every year, I think, when you have to set it up and tear it down. Have you done that? Where it's like you're setting it up, you're like, never again. It's like being drunk and hungover. Like you're just like, never again. And then you find yourself the next summer drinking and putting up a pool, which is the two things you said you would never do again. But overall, the party was a win. The party, the pool stayed up. Everybody had a great time. The highlights for me was one of the parents showed up a little bit late. She's big time into World Cup, and she was watching, I think it was Germany versus Sweden when that was happening. So I took the TV from the addition. I brought it out, and some people got to sit around it and watch the last, like, 10 minutes of the World Cup. The food thing worked out great. If you're throwing a party and you want a way to do it, I grilled that tri-tip on Friday night, thin sliced it, put it in just some Ziploc bags in the fridge and let it set. And then the next day, I dumped it in the slow cooker about 2 hours before people were set to show up. And maybe it was three, probably 2.5, somewhere in there. And then I made that au jus just to kind of give it a little moisture to sit in and then just set it on warm. And by the time they got there, I got it up to above 145, so it's safe to eat kind of a thing. And then it just sat there. And people came by. We set out tongs and made food. And then if people wanted seconds, they just went back and got it. And it freed me up to get drinks and actually sit down and chat with people. So it was a... Overall, it was a great time. Like I said back in the first segment, is that it's moments like that where you got to look at it and go, man, I'm living the dream, man. I know this sounds super cheesy, and it's a lot of it has to do with because I kind of feel like I dodged a little bit of bullet with that diverticulitis thing getting as bad as it was, and think I'm in that sweet spot. Trust me, give me like 3 weeks, and I'll be back to being bitter and cynical and not appreciating life in any way, shape, or form. Old Justin would be back shortly, but it was just great. I'm sitting there with the pool. The slide, which has a little pool at the end, I'm refilling it, and the kids are sliding down, and it's just freezing cold water, but they're just all having a good time, and I got a little bourbon in my hand, and it was a great time. Again, not knowing I had diverticulitis and huge problems with my gut, but I'm drinking some whiskey ginger. All right, let's take another quick break and come back and do a little moment of the week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Dad Gear. All your child traveling needs packed into stylish, practical perfection. Designed by real dads for real dads and moms. Don't be the guy with a diaper purse. Be the man with a Dad Gear diaper backpack. Go to dadgear.com and use promo code DADPODCAST at checkout for 20% savings. Made in the USA.
So as I said before, we went to this Rams. I got an email. The kids are in the Rams like youth club, and so they were doing Rams camps over the summer where they have guys come by and they do like a football camp with them, and they pick a day, go to a high school. So I picked a Friday and went down there, and I think it was like $125 a kid. I want to say I'm probably wrong. It might be closer to $150. I don't know, but. It wasn't to me what felt like a ton for what I was getting. Like they were going to be there at the camp from 9 to 2. And there was a lot of people who literally dropped their kids off and left. And I'm not judging them. I'm just saying that if you think about it, for a full day of childcare for the kids to be, you know, taken care of out there, that's a pretty big deal. Oh, wait, hold on. I have to hit pause. Jacob just walked in.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
All right, I'm back. There was somebody at the door, I guess, but then when I got there, there was nobody there. So these guys, they go out to the Rams camp, and for what you're getting for your buck, I mean, you know, $150 for, you know, basically somebody can watch your kids for 7 hours, and they got to play football. And it was intense, man. They were playing football outside in the sun for 7 hours. Their vitamin D levels are off the charts. And they were totally safe. They had medical staff on site there as well. It was co-sponsored by Cedars-Sinai, so... It was great. And these guys that did this were so awesome with the kids. I mean, Jack was playing catch with this dude, and they turned it into a game where it's like, okay, if you drop it, that's, you know, you get a point, and you want to have as little drops as possible. And they were just so great. And so we just sat in the stands and watched them. I wish I didn't have to deal with that diverticulitis pain, because it would have made it so much more enjoyable. But and it was just great to watch the kids enjoy playing football, and also super impressed by their ability to literally be out there running around for 7 hours. I mean, they were tired. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like they were completely distracted and unaware of how hot it was and all that, but just incredible. I mean, the toughness in them was fun to watch, but the highlight was both of them independently. I know we got a video of Jax, and maybe I'll get Natalie to give that one to me. It didn't have as clean a shot as the one I got of Jacobs. If you go to my Instagram at Dad Podcast, or if you go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/dadpodcast, you'll see a great video of what they were really encouraging them to do, touchdown dances, like end zone dances. And Jacob, he had to have gotten this from a long time ago, where I talked about Adam Carolla has a famous end zone dance where he pretends to be reading a paper and he drops the football from behind. So if you're looking at him from the front, it looks like he took a big football shaped brown dookie. And I must have done that playing catch because this would have been years ago. And so Jacob goes, he does his end zone, and one of them was a dance, and then he got to go through again, and he stops and he drops the ball from behind him. And these guys fall out laughing. And it was just so funny. So again, check out the video. It's worth it. It's worth it just to see from across the field the reaction of these guys. The guy who you see like kind of walk away used to play for the Green Bay Packers. I didn't catch his name, but I heard him say that in the intro. But it was just a fun day. So if you guys have a kid who's interested in football and happen to have an NFL team nearby and they do this kind of thing, it's worth it, in my opinion. I mean, I can't imagine that other organizations aren't up to snuff with what the Rams are doing. I mean, maybe they put it on a bigger face because they're new to this market. I don't know. But it was just so incredible, so fun. The other moment of the week, though, for Jack was, I don't know how this came up. Natalie was coming through, and I got to get off her phone. I'll get it up on the Instagram and Facebook as soon as I can. But she found these old videos. You know how Facebook will remind you of so many years ago something, and she made this video of the boys listening to Thrift Shop by Macklemore. And Jack had to be like maybe two or something, and he is just going nuts with his hands. And so it's not a fun like story, but it is. I'm very nostalgic, obviously. You know what I mean? It's just that thing where it's like you look back at the great moments you've had, how lucky you are to have the life you have with the family that you have. We're all very fortunate in some way, shape, or form. Even if you're going through the roughest of times, I think as hard as it is, and I get it. Trust me, I'm a guy who leans negative, and I'm not expecting anybody to always have a sunny outlook on life. But I just feel like when I'm looking back at these videos of this kid with this just intense personality, and I'm seeing who he grows up to be, it's not really a moment. It was a moment where I thought it was touching and it made it all worthwhile, which is the point of moment of the week. But the other thing I learned is that I noticed, and I'm sure many of you have gone through this already and have made fun of me when Jack first came into the picture, but there's been this worry about how they kind of ebb and flow as to who has your focus and who's doing well. Like my dad, I did put it best where he said, you're never happy with all your kids at the same time. When you have multiple kids, they take turns being either a pain in the ass or good. And I've ebbed and flowed in that, but because I'm so new to it, the ebbs and flows are kind of fewer and far between. And so you feel like, oh no. And lately it's been this thing where it's like, there's a lot of emphasis on Jacob and his abilities, his athleticism. And he started doing dance with Jack, and that was kind of Jack's thing. And Jacob's also a really good dancer. And so there's, you know, you have those silly concerns, that little voice in your head is like, oh, I hope he's going to be okay. And so it's just this thing of getting to see how amazingly big Jack's personality is and was when he was a baby, and to kind of be reminded of that and look at it now was, I don't know, I'm just a sap, but it was a cool thing. So that was the show. Send me an email to show@thedadpodcast.com if you want to tell me shut up, stop being so so sappy. And follow me on Instagram at Dad Podcast and facebook.com/dadpodcast. I want to start doing some Facebook live videos there. I think that would be a fun way if I'm ever just sitting in the back having a cigar and a bourbon. And it's not because I'm unwinding from a stressful day, although it'd probably be a while before I can have some bourbon until I get over this diverticulitis thing. They have me on another week of antibiotics now. They added that. But I am much, much better. But I think it would be fun just to jump on there and be able to chat with you guys. That's the thing I've been trying to figure out a way. I like doing the live streaming of the show. And if you want to follow us on that, I haven't done it in forever because when I've recorded has been so sporadic. If I could find a consistent time, and that may be coming now that things are kind of realigning in my life and priorities are shifting, maybe I can find a consistent time to always record and maybe more people can tune in live. And I know a lot of the, especially the people that are, that like Butcher Drew's group over there are big fans of that. And I wish I could do it more. But if you want more community involvement, so do I. But the easiest way for you to get that is that thing I just mentioned, is you go to Staying Frosty with the Dad podcast with our very own Butcher Drew.
All right, all right, all right.
It's a great way to talk to like-minded parents, no judgment. I know that some of you are new to the show because you've heard me do the segments on Gary and Shannon. I'm sorry for this long, single-voiced, loquacious episode. I hope you found some kind of enjoyment out of it. Always know that I am trying to do my best, and that part of doing my best is constantly wrestling with this voice in my head that thinks that everything is bad, and I apologize that you have to be the victim of my own bullshit. But it is not lost on me if you're sitting there thinking this is bad. Trust me, I'm already there with you, and I thank you for taking the time to listen and support the show, and I hope you guys are having a fantastic summer, and we'll talk to you again soon. I've already recorded it. We're doing another episode later this week coming out with Dr. J. That's really great. Love Dr. J. I think I'm going to shift things with him where we're going to just kind of chat to see what's going on in our lives, because you guys all love Dr. J. He's a fun guy who does interesting things, and got more guests coming down the pike, new guests. So on behalf of no one, this is Justin Worsham saying hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friends.